Welcome to week 6 of the Viking Red Zone Show. Today we will review the Vikings versus the Athens Bulldogs, as well as the review of the TVC from week 5. And we will end the show with the VCVikings.com Player of the Week. Sponsored by J&K Contracting. One call, we do it all. Now let's get this party started. Unlike the Bengals and the Browns, these co-hosts are both over 500. David Lugs Harold and Nathan Lamb. And this week's special guest, coach of the junior high Benton County Vikings, Ryan Stewart.
We almost won today.
We almost won today, too, until the third quarter.
Yeah, our game was better.
Our game went into overtime.
I wish we could play a max schedule like you guys do. That'd be awesome.
A max schedule? We play the same schedule.
We had to play the Jets on 9-11. 9-11, the Jets.
Yeah, you know.
Come on. Is that not a setup game? You're playing in New York at the Jets at a new stadium on 9-11 with a million firefighters and policemen in a stadium. Then you got to play Pittsburgh at Pittsburgh after they cheap-shotted us for a whole game in the playoffs. And then we got to play the defending Super Bowl champs their game. It's not fair.
Yeah, but you don't have the same place the Browns have. You don't know where we came from.
We play all those same teams.
Yeah. Not yet.
But we will.
Well, not yet, though.
But it don't matter. We will.
But you're 0-3, and we're 1-2. It gets a much tougher schedule. So.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
Guess who we have next week?
Who do you play next week?
Tom Brady comes back next week.
Wood 4.
Or no, he suspended the first 4 games. Next week will be the 4th game, right?
Yeah, next week's 4th game.
You got one so more it game. Won't be next week. It'll
no,
be
we play somebody so else next week.
He comes back for us. Who do you play?
No, I thought we played New England in week 5.
We do. Because the week he gets back, week. He plays.
It don't matter. We're going to lose. We're going to go in 16. Don't matter.
No, we're not. Terrell Pryor's going to end up getting the starting nod.
We need to start him at quarterback
and
because
he's going to throw it to himself.
Might as well.
There's got to be someone. I don't know. Maybe Central Michigan. Listen. Can you schedule them?
Central Michigan will probably beat us. They're not bad.
We look bad. I'm just going to say right now. I figured I'd bash us both in this episode is what I thought on the intro because I thought, you know, we both deserved it.
It's all right. You still only got a game lead. J&K Contracting is sponsoring this show for whatever reason.
Yeah.
We'll see if they come back for next year. Call them at 740-698-3521. One call does it all. J&K Contracting. So, we are here, episode 8, the Viking Red Zone podcast. Mm-hmm. Athens review. Show.
Yeah.
It's going to be a good show. We got Mr. Ryan Stewart here, a superstar athlete of Benton County High School back in the day. Mm-hmm. We've probably been here like an hour and a half talking about stuff prior to recording. A
lot of stuff.
Probably should have recorded it.
Yeah.
Some of it would have been funny. Some of it would have probably got us in trouble.
Yeah.
Quite a bit of it. Anyways, yep. Lugs, let's just quit wasting time and give us the stats from the beatdown in Athens.
Okay. Well, first we'll talk a little bit about the junior high.
Oh yeah.
And junior high 8th grade lost 12-6 this Thursday. Heck of a game, by the way. And I mean, I got, you know, obviously I don't 7th grade just moving in, so there ain't no history with them in the TVC, but mm-hmm. The 8th grade played this team last year, was losing 22 I think to nothing, came back and won 24-22. Heck of a comeback, but we knew Athens was a good team, so we lost 12-6, but it was a heck of a close game. We were actually having a good game. They were having a good game. Their quarterback, probably and again, you know, we know Ty Ruckel, and I've seen him in junior high, not kick and throw a football. I think that Athens quarterback was the best passing quarterback I've seen in a junior high level in a long time. And we did pretty good against him, but the boy could throw the football. I mean, he was a heck of a passer. So, good game there. They lost 12-6, though. It was really close. Had a chance to win late in the game. Had a couple turnovers that kind of cost us a little bit. But kids played hard. A lot of kids had a good game. It was a very good, well-balanced, you know, offensive attack for us. And proud of them. They did good. The 7th grade junior high Tuesday won 34-0. So their second game they played in a TVC team. Of course, you know, the Megs game didn't go too well. But then they go into Athens, which is still a pretty good team usually. And they really smacked them down. So they kind of bounced back from that loss.
Oh, and we talked about this before last week, before these games. And we weren't sure where Athens played their junior high games.
Yes.
And I knew it all along, and I don't know why I didn't.
It's right beside the Newell Field, isn't it?
No.
No? Okay.
No, they play in Chauncey, or Chancey.
Yes.
They play at old, what's the name of that? Bo something field?
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, that field is awesome.
It is.
Really?
Oh, it's so old and cool and awesome, man.
School board doesn't work, and when it does,
dude,
it whistles
it
at you
so cool
the whole time.
Seriously, if you're ever going from Nelsonville to Athens or vice versa on 33, take the Chauncey exit and check that place out because it is awesome.
Huh,
I can't remember the name of it.
I don't remember either.
It's some dude that played in Chauncey, and I know my Athens County guys are probably going to rip me for it, but I don't know his name. I can't remember. But he played there, and he's got, like, all kinds of state records for running. And I do believe that he went to play at Ohio State. And so they named the field after this guy, and the field is old. It is so old. It's got these bleachers that are built into the hillside. It is so cool. I love it. We had my daughter had a parade over there. My daughter had a parade over there a few years ago, and we were at the high school – or at the school – that's where we met, you know, all the other queens and stuff. Well, we're sitting there, and I just walk out onto the field. I'm like, dude, this place is awesome, you know? So I was checking it out, not
the freshman coach played there this week, too.
Really?
Freshman
game
Monday
against Athens. No, I think the game was Wednesday or Thursday. They had it was a freshman game.
They played the same day the 8th grade did, you're right.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right. It was the same game.
Yep.
So that's cool. Anyways, I don't know why I didn't think of that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there was a Chauncey High School or Chauncey High School, which there's a huge debate on how to say that. There's a U in it. It's Chauncey. Anyways.
Yeah.
They had a high school. The Plains had a high school. Athens had a high school. And then they all merged together. So they all had these football stadiums. And they still use that one, which is really cool. I like it. It's
That's awesome.
Okay. So there we go.
All right. Our history lesson.
So
our first history lesson. We'll have more for
Oh, yeah. Plenty more. Plenty more coming.
Yeah. Okay, so all right, so let's go to team stats now. Let's go to the high school game.
Right.
Obviously, we went to Athens. We played them there. We lost 63-14. Again, you know, I knew Athens was a good team. I think everybody else did too. You know, this doesn't mean that we suck. It just means we ran into a good team. We'll bounce back. We'll be fine. But anyway, team stats. We had 7 first downs to their 27. We had 127 net rushing yards to their 382. We had 2 net passing yards to their 207. And then they had Navin's number in this
I
one.
Can't,
so.
I just can't believe that.
It's shocking.
I can't believe that.
Shocking. So
a lot
of factors go into that. So we had 174 total yards of offense to their 589. We almost gave up 600 total yards of offense. And we were 2-for-12 on third downs. They were 3-for-8. We were 0-for-0 in the red zone. We never got there one time. Our 2 touchdowns came off of big long runs. So we never got in the red zone the whole game. They were 5-for-5. They never missed a touchdown once they got there the whole game. One of the big stats. But go to some individual stats here. Nalen Yates had 11 rushes, 75 yards, and a touchdown. He had a big touchdown run. Again, 2 yards passing. That's his worst passing output of the season so far. So, I mean, like I said, you know, he ran into a good team. Now he's just got to learn where he made mistakes and get better, right? So
you can't get much lower than that.
Yeah, 2 yards. It was a rough day. Nevin Yates had a good day, though. 3 rushing yards, 79 yards, and a rushing touchdown. 68-yard long one. He broke off one of the biggest plays of the game for us. It was a heck of a run.
Kind of got us back a little bit back in the game at that point.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, you know, it was still a pretty good score at that point, but at least we had a shot at that point. Yeah. Jaden Spires was our leading receiver in the game, 2 receptions and 7 yards. He's the only one that had positive yards receiving in the game. So it was a rough day for the wide receivers. It was a rough day. Like I said, Athens is a good team. Hunter Nichols led the team in tackles, 7.5 tackles this game. Of course, we see Hunter and Caleb, and Caleb was second, you know, obviously. But Hunter and Caleb are just toggling between he usually leads in tackles almost every game. So Tyler Roback for Athens, 13 carries, 112 yards, 1 touchdown. Brandon Sano, 10 of 16, 207 yards and 4 touchdowns passing. And what I think was really the big game changer was Trace Albin, who They used him in the slot. And they ran him on the motion plays and gave him the ball a lot. And he kind of made a big game. Made some big plays in the game. Sorry.
Right.
45-yard rushing, 81 yards receiving. He had three touchdowns of the four touchdowns.
Solid.
Yeah.
Day.
So, I mean, he was really the main target for him. The kid was quick. I mean, the kid was fast. He could run. So, just to put the stats in perspective for the 589 yards, that means we have given up as a team in total offensive yardage in our first five games. We have given up 2,513 total yards of offense in our first five games. I went back through and looked at a lot of the years and trying to find out if we've ever given up more than that in five games, and I haven't found one season yet, so that's a lot. So, anyways, I know Ryan was there watching the game, so I'm going to get him. Tell me what you thought of the game. What did you take from it?
Well, I thought that first play of the game when that quarterback threw that ball right to Montgomery's. I thought we were like, what, 5-yard line, 6-yard line?
Mm-hmm.
He throws it, hits him right in the hands, and I'm like, touchdown. He's going to catch that and take it back. He's going to walk. And I think he thought the same thing, and he dropped it.
He did.
And I was like, man, that would have been a big momentum shifter. But we got a good three and out, and, you know, we got the ball back, and we missed on a couple throws. But to me, like I talked to you guys before the podcast, I felt like we came out really tense.
Mm-hmm.
Felt like Nalen seemed to be a little bit tense with his footwork. Seemed to be putting a little bit too much on the ball as far as the deep throws went.
Yeah.
Wide receivers, their focus just wasn't there, and I don't know if it was something they ate, something they're hearing throughout the week, like they, you know, we're world beaters now because we beat a team we shouldn't, or whether it was, you know, they were just anxious. I don't know. I mean, the good ones find ways to win, and
we just,
I don't think we were very focused in the first half. In the second half, came out. I think we played a little bit better as far as the team goes. I mean, that whole game was kind of a nightmare, but I mean,
it's a good word.
it was a rough. I think in we talked about this last week on the podcast. I think I mentioned this. I don't know. I know we talked about it. I think walking into that stadium would have been – and like I said, we're a young team. You know, we're not a lot of seniors. We're about a lot of freshmen and sophomores and juniors. And you're walking into that really nice stadium, artificial turf. It's Athens, who just went to the playoffs a couple years ago and barely lost to the state title. I mean, you go in there, and I think you do go in a little bit intimidated. And I think what you're saying is kind of right. I think even though they didn't want to admit it, I mean, you know, obviously you want to act like you can whip Mike Tyson, but then when you step into the ring with him, it's a little bit of a different scenario. So, and I think they kind of got the nerves a little bit, too. I mean, we dropped the balls. We dropped a lot of balls. I don't know. We don't know whose fault it is. Whether it's the quarterback or the wide receiver. But, I mean, a lot of mistakes in that game happened. So, yeah, it showed, I think.
Well, for me, I did not make it over. I did not watch the game. I did listen to the game. Listen to Bob and Jeff. And also listen to the some of the 970 broadcast, the Athens broadcast. And just to kind of, I would switch back and forth just to get both perspectives, you know, because I know those guys and they're good friends. So for me, and I've watched some film since, but for me, I kind of look at that performance and really compare it to the Unioto game. We made a lot of the same mistakes that we did in the Unioto game. We dropped a lot of balls. You know, Nalen wasn't on target every throw. I mean, there were some throws where his accuracy was a little off.
Especially the deep throws.
Yeah,
the deep
right.
Throws were off.
And it just seemed like we weren't in sync as much as we were in the second half of the Megs game. Like, everything went our way. Every pass was on target. We caught everything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we caught an interception off somebody's foot. I mean, everything went our way.
Yeah, that was awesome.
So, and it was the exact opposite of that in week one, I think, you know, and it was the exact opposite of that against Athens. And I think a lot of that we talked about in week one was a little bit of nerves, a little bit of, you know, just nerves and jitters. And I think coming into the game in Athens, you just beat Megs. You got everybody talking about you now. I mean, everybody's talking about Benton County. How in the world did they destroy Megs?
Yeah.
And you come in to Athens, a place where they've won a lot of football games, and it's the first time they've been on turf all year, biggest stadium they've been to all year.
Yep.
And you come out, and you just lay an egg. I mean, this is a team that Athens is going to finish first or second in the league, I would imagine.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
And so you know this is the real deal. And when you come out, and I think the killer was the fake punt at the beginning of the game. You know, we stop them three and out. We get the ball. We move the ball a little bit. We punt the ball. We stop them again, three and out. Mm-hmm. That's exactly how we needed to start the game. All we needed to do was get that score, and I felt like this game could have been completely different. Yep. And you can call me an idiot all you want, but I think if we score first, this game is not 63-14. It's a lot closer than that. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying we win the game. I'm just saying that it's more competitive because that pressure is gone. That you know, our nerves are loose. We're loose.
Take a
now.
Breath and
right.
start playing football.
Yeah, yeah, and we never got that chance, especially when they kicked that or when they had the fake punt and they get the ball inside the 10-yard line and then they score on the next play. And that's just like, wow, here we go. That's it.
Yep.
So for me, that's what I would compare it to. We talked last week how would they handle a win, and I don't think they handled it very well. So hopefully, you know, they get that out of them and come out, you know, this Friday against Alexander and get back to where they were against Megs. Because this team, I'm telling you right now, if they would have continued to play the way they did against Megs, and I look at Megs and I think Megs' defense is just as good as Athens' defense. Yeah. Okay, I compare them. I wouldn't put one above the other, to be honest with you, defensively. And for us to do what we did against Megs on their defensive side of the ball on offense, you know, there's no question we could do that to Athens. We just didn't. We did not execute. And I was talking to the radio, Athens radio guys, and that's the exact same thing they told me was first off, they said we looked a lot better than we have in the past few years. And that's coming from the Athens broadcasters. You guys look a lot better. And I came back with, well, we're not really playing very good, you know. But they said it was just execution. The game plan was excellent. We were getting people where we needed to be. We were making the right play calls. Yep. We just were not executing, and that was the difference in the game. Now, would it have made up 49 points? I don't know. But I think it could have been competitive.
Well, and I think that's what you – and again, you know, realistically, we know Athens is a top team in the TVC.
Right.
You kind of wanted to go into this game, and even if you don't win, you just wanted to prove that, hey, we're going to be here for a few years competing for this TVC title, and, you know, we wanted to prove to Athens that we could, you know. You know, I think, you know, we wanted to see a little bit closer score, and we didn't get that. And, you know, we had 14 points in the first half, I think, right? And we didn't score at all in the second, and – if they could have just scored a couple more points in the second half, get a little confidence going, I think you go into Alexander with a lot of confidence that you know you're the better team. And I'll tell you, I think we are the better team against Alexander too. But that would have been a big lift to just do something against Athens.
Would have been totally obvious.
Yep.
Had we have played a competitive, because you look at the Alexander and Athens game and it was a lot different in the first half. Alexander was down by one at halftime.
Yeah.
So. Yep. We don't know. I mean. Yep. It's anything's going to – every Friday is going to be different. There's going to be – you can't look at scores and say this team's going to beat this team because of that. Yeah. But at the same time, I mean, you definitely don't want to lose a league game by 49 points. And, you know, you obviously want to win them all, but
to definitely be
competitive is – when you're a struggling program and you're just trying to win some games, to be competitive is the first step. And we've been that all season long. Yeah. This is the first time this year where we really got smashed. And – you know, now how do we rebound? We'll find that out.
Yeah. And I'll say, as I'm watching the game, and I'll ask Ryan this, because you watched the game there, I've got a lot of feedback over the last couple of days, and everybody's like, oh, well, I feel like obviously all year long so far, it's been all the linemen are what's got to step up, our front seven's got to step up, corners are playing pretty well, and then you go into Athens, and now everybody's saying, oh, now the corners need to step up, now they're the problem, and I honestly didn't feel like they played that bad. We gave up 207 yards passing to Athens. I don't think that was that bad for the secondary to do, to be honest with you. But I'll ask Ryan, you watch the game. I mean, you evaluate the defense. Obviously, the defense is where the problems are. I know the offense had a bad night, but you're going to have bad nights. The defense has consistently put up, given up 500 yards to teams all year long. That's an amazing stat to give up 500 yards a game, by the way. I don't know. You look at the defense. What do you pull away from the defensive issues right now?
Well, I think it all kind of ties in together. I mean, like you said, it's hard to tell how we're going to react week to week. Well, there's a hidden aspect of football that we don't really talk about a lot, at least at a high school level. It's the psychology aspect. Mm-hmm. I mean, football is a very emotional sport.
Yep.
And, I mean, you'll listen to the Urban Meyer's talk. You know, it's all about the guys in the locker room. We got a bunch of good guys in the locker room. Well, those good guys in the locker room are the ones that get those nerves. Everyone's nervous for a game. Those guys that can control those nerves, they tend to, once we're relaxed, because if you look at us in our game tapes, if you watch our boys, when we're playing at our best offensively, they're relaxed. They're really relaxed.
They're having fun.
Exactly. They're going out, they know what they need to do, and they're making plays.
Yep.
But when they start thinking, and they start thinking, oh, I got to do this or we need this, and they get tight, then we play like that. Mm-hmm. And that's where we'll see the line will slip up because, like, oh, man, I got to help Nalen out. Or the wide receivers will start saying, I got to catch this pass because they know it's a good team and they don't want to make any mistakes. That kind of stuff you have to mitigate as a coach. But you also need players in the locker room that are going to step up and be those leaders that say, hey, guys, look, we're just playing football. We've been doing this our whole life.
Right.
We love this. Let's go out there and do what we got to do.
Yep.
I mean, but to get back to your point of what you're talking about, what I took from the defense was, I mean, the only thing I could – I mean, I'm not an expert coach. I'm new to the coaching ranks. I don't know anything about coaching. I try to do what I can. Mm-hmm. I just discredit myself while I'm at it. But the only thing I could see Friday night was we looked so tense that none of those boys looked to be relaxed. They were so tight, you know, and you got players saying, you know, just griping and – heads down. There's not every long time we've gone to halftime. I'm pretty sure every game this year we've gone to halftime losing.
Yes.
Yeah.
And every single time, whether it's by a lot or by a little, and even in the Bex game, heads were down. No one's talking, not even the coaches.
Yeah.
And it's like, who's that guy that says, "Look, we need a nucleus of guys that's going to step up and say, look, let's just go play football."
Right.
You know what I mean?
You need those leaders.
And that's how I think you know, because, I mean, if you're relaxed and you're playing football you're playing and having fun, you're more likely to do good things.
And I think that even reflects defense more than offense, too, because people don't realize you need some talent to play offense.
Yes.
You need effort and heart to play defense. You really do. And I would take a kid, you know, when I was coaching, if you could give me a kid that's 100 miles an hour and listens to everything I say and plays his butt off, I want him on my defense. You know, now, can he catch a ball? Maybe not. Maybe he can't play offense. But if you can get 11 kids on that defense that want to fly and knock the snot out of somebody, those are defensive players, and that's what you want. Right. And that's that leadership that comes into play is the guys getting them up and emotional. And perfect point, and we don't know what's going on. You know, we don't know anything as far as that goes in the locker room. But Caleb Montgomery is your senior leader, you know. No touches, no catches on offense. Second on the team leading in tackles, but he wasn't involved in the offense this game. Now he's, and we talk about Nalen. That's all we talk about a lot on this show because Nalen's a great athlete. And we know he is, and he's sky's the limit for Nalen. But Caleb's your senior leader. He's got the most experience on the whole team. Mm-hmm. He had great numbers last year on defense and offense, and you know he needs to take these kids, especially on defense and the young ones. Take him in, pull him in, lead him, and be like, listen, you know, we're going to step it up on defense. We're going to play, and that leadership will get you there. I think you're exactly right. So who does it? I don't know if Caleb's the one that should do it or not, but Caleb's talented. Him not touching the ball is crazy to me. The kid's great on both sides of the ball. So what happened against Athens? Did they shut him down? They might have. They're a good team, but, you know, leadership's everything.
Okay, well, one thing that I want to point out about the defense, and you say that they've consistently given up 500-600 yards to the opposing team.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which is crazy.
Yeah.
But one thing I want to point out is the fact that I want to give the defense a little bit of a scapegoat here, because the offense, how many times does the offense go out there and throw it three times and have to punt?
It's just
the way this offensive style is, that we're the other team, if we're not, especially if we're not clicking. You look at the Megs game, we're running the ball, we're passing the ball, we're moving the ball on offense, and we're scoring points, right? The offense is doing what it's supposed to do. Right. The offense is doing what it's supposed to do. You look at the time of possession in that game, and it was very even. Now you take the time of possession in the Fairfield Union game, and it was like 4-1. I mean, they had the ball like four times the R1, maybe more than that.
Yeah.
Yet we still only gave up 31 points.
Yeah, well, 500 yards even of though offense, we gave, 400 and some on the ground, by the way, which is why the clock was so
But
bad.
What I'm saying is the reason I think that those numbers are inflated is because of the style of offense that we run. Because if we don't score 50 points, we're going to give up yards on defense because they're going to have the ball a lot more than we are.
Yeah,
and that's just a fact. That's just the way it's going to go down. So I would give the defense some credit because of that, because the way this offense is playing, if the defense don't step up and play at least somewhat decent, they're going to get scored on by – they're going to give up 65 points a game, not just every once in a while. So let's also, you know, point that out there that it's –
I'd like to add to that. I was saying that this week talking to some of the junior high coaches. You know, when you have an offense like our high school has, I mean – when you have an offense like our high school has, I mean, it's a high-powered offense, but we're a big-play offense.
Right.
Most of our touchdowns have come from big plays.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly.
If you have an offense that can't sustain long drives to give those defenders, the defense that we have, a break.
Exactly.
They're going to wear out. They're going to make mental errors. Those are going to, you know, things, assignments are going to be missed.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's some consistency you're going to have with the run game, the pass game. Can we do that? Yeah, absolutely. I believe we can.
Well, we've done it.
We've done. Yeah, you're exactly right. But
yeah, and the games that we did, and this was another thing with this game is, we only rushed the ball 12 times, 13 times the whole game.
That's because
even though we ran that spread, we've been rushing the ball a lot.
But that's because we got down so quickly and by so much. It wasn't like the Megs game where two plays was how they scored.
Yeah.
One was our fault. The other come off of an interception, I think, or maybe a fumble. Anyways, we gifted them those two scores. So it didn't feel like we were down even though we were. This game it was like, okay, well, we got to outscore these guys because they can score. And it just – it just wasn't the same.
Yeah. Yeah, we didn't. We had one drive where we literally 13 seconds came off the clock. It was second half, I think. We started the drive out. We ran three plays, 12 seconds came off the clock, and we punted it back to him. Yeah, I mean, that's the offense. I guess we know that. So, I mean, knowing that offense is that way, I mean, do you expect more out of the defense? I mean, the defense still isn't pitching three and outs very often either, though.
Well,
so,
yes, but. I know what you're saying, but at the same time, even if the offense is doing what they're supposed to do and scoring quickly, which we know they can do, the defense is still going to be out on the field a lot. So you're still going to give up these numbers, especially the way football's played now. It's a different game. You know, if you hold a team to under 20 points now, that's like holding a team to 7 points or less back 10 years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, it's different. Teams are going to score points.
Well,
it's just a fact.
We're not giving up 63 to anybody else this year either. That's Athens, and that's great. They're that good of a team. Okay.
Well, and like Ryan said, it's psychological. We've never beaten them in the TVC.
Yeah.
You know, last year we finally got over the Nelsonville York hump. So hopefully that game's a little bit different this year because I know they're going to come in and they're going to be cruising at that point. They already are. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be a tough game coming up week 9. But
yeah.
You know, we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. That's all I can say.
Nowadays, you kind of got to use your offense as the defense to get the other offense out of rhythm.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and look at Fairfield Union. They're 3-2 right now, and they've played a very tough schedule, and they control the ball on offense, and that's how they win games.
Yeah. Well, so let me ask you this. We're 5 weeks into the season. We've seen the offense for 5 weeks. We know all we need to know about the offense. Grade the offense then. I mean, we're scoring more points right now than we've scored in 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
We're putting points up. We're exciting to watch. I mean, obviously the Athens game wasn't too exciting, but I mean, most of the time we're exciting to watch. Grade this offense for me. Would you change the offense? Would you keep doing this offense? Ryan's coaching kids right now that are moving up through the program. Are you a fan of the offense? Or let me ask you guys that.
I wish we ran this offense when I was in high school.
Because you were the quarterback, of course. Yeah,
I would have. I mean, we ran a variation of it, but we threw it 10 times a game and ran 20 to 30
Which at
times.
The time was crazy because we didn't throw the ball 10 times.
Yeah.
We threw it three.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I would say our offense right now, if we're in rhythm, we can keep up with Athens.
Well,
if we're in rhythm.
Yeah, yeah, right.
But as far as if I would change anything, Nayland, I don't see a lot of time where Nayland's actually in the pocket. So a lot of the time it's him. I don't know if it's whether he trusts to stay in the pocket or if he feels more comfortable outside the pocket. But if that's the case, you know, it was hard for me to stay in the pocket when I was in high school, so I'm just calling the kettle black here. But you got to put him on natural rollouts. And, you know, as far as the offense goes, I really wouldn't change anything. We run a lot of dink and dunk passes, which is – that can actually act as a run game.
Right.
If you're successful with it because it's high efficiency passing.
Mm-hmm.
And then take your shots downfield when you can get them.
Right.
But I guess I would just have to hammer the fundamentals because you see sloppiness, and I hate to pick on Nayland because I love that kid. He knows I love him. Nayland, if you're listening, I always talk to you after every game. You know I love you. But his footwork gets sloppy. I mean, at the Athens game, he rolled right and threw back across field, and the defender slapped it out. It could have been picked.
Yeah.
QB 101, and everyone knows this, if you roll right, you don't throw left.
Yeah.
I mean, Michael Vick was one of the few people that could get away with it, and maybe Brett Favre.
Brett Favre.
He threw a lot of picks, you know. But in my opinion, Brett Favre was the greatest ever. But,
you
know, I love this offense.
Bernie Kosar.
Yes, Bernie Kosar until the last couple years.
We did get our first Bernie Kosar reference. I haven't mentioned Boomer one time this year, man. How dare you? I haven't mentioned Boomer one time.
It's because he's on the wall. <That's true. laughs> I got to stare at him every time I walk in here.
Sorry, we're getting sidetracked. Go ahead, Ryan. We're sorry, man. Kozar off-railed us right there. So.
You know I'm happy about the Kozar plug, but
hey, he'd be a good coach.
That's great.
I mean, I like the offense. I don't know what more I can say.
I do, too, I think. So how you feeling, Nathan, about it?
Well, we've scored more points this year at this point in the season than we probably have in the last 5 years,
yeah.
First 5 weeks combined. Mm-hmm. Now, and if you want me to grade it, there's been a lot of years, and I'll be flat out honest here. There's been a lot of years in the last 20 years that I would give our offense an F or what's after F? I mean, seriously.
Z?
Okay, I would definitely terrible, horrible.
Yeah.
And I hate to say that, but there's been years where we have just not been able to move the ball.
And last year was one of them. You know, last year we struggled. We got it to going a little bit late, but, you know.
But even still, we moved the ball somewhat. We did, you know, whatever. Anyways, what I'm saying, and I'm not talking about last year. I'm talking about, like, back when I was younger, freshman, sophomore year, year before.
Yeah.
Some of those offenses have been very bad. Now, with that said, and the way the offense is now, it's exciting to watch. We're moving the ball. We're scoring. It's just – it's a risky offense, okay?
Yeah.
It's a risky offense, especially when your defense maybe isn't, you know, Ohio State caliber.
Yeah.
You know, when your defense – when you know your defense is going to give up – because take away the Athens score, the defense is going to give up anywhere from 20 to 30 to 35 points a game. Mm-hmm. Now, can we score more than that a game? Yeah, without a doubt. I know we can.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know you're going to give up four touchdowns every week. But how much of that is, like we said before, how much of that is a result of the defense or is it a result of the offense that we run? Now, if I was going to grade the offense, just give it a grade, I would probably give it a B+. I mean,
I mean, know they're shattering records. You almost have to give them something decent, right?
If you take away what they did against Athens,
the rest of the year has been pretty.
The rest of the year has been awesome.
Yeah,
awesome. The numbers have been there. We've had 5-6 different receivers catch multiple passes every game. You know, like you said, we've broken records, passing records, completion records, reception records. Mm-hmm. You know, all those things have came down and came down big time, not just a little bit.
Yeah.
So I can't sit here and say that the offense isn't that I would change it because I think that it can do what we need it to do. It's just if it's not in sync, if they're not in sync, it could be a bad night, like against Athens, especially when you play a team like Athens.
That's
now,
good,
will we see this caliber of a team the next 3 weeks? No. We won't.
That's right. We're not going
this is where we
not
need
to. Not saying we're guaranteed wins.
No, but this is where we need to regroup, refocus, and go out there and execute like we have, you know, somewhat this year.
Okay, so I was going to give off some midseason stats real quick,
okay,
and then we can move on from this game.
Then we'll cut it out, right.
All right, so our midseason leaders for this year so far, like I said, we're 5 weeks in. We're midseason. This is halfway through.
Halfway point.
Our leading rusher right now is Nathan Yates, 375 yards, 5 rushing touchdowns. Our leading passer is Nathan Yates, 907 yards and 6 touchdowns, which, I mean, he got 2 yards against Athens, and he's still on pace to get 1,800 yards passing. That will beat our leading passer in a season by almost 900 yards, I believe, 800 yards. So, I mean, what he's doing is remarkable. Our leading receiver, Caleb Montgomery, with 20 catches for 297 yards and 3 touchdowns. If he keeps that up, I believe he will hold the reception record as well for the season. I think he's going to be close to the yardage record. I think Ryan Cottle owns it. I'm not sure what he has. But interceptions so far are Bailey Bartow with 2. He leads the team. Kick returning yards, Jaden Spires has 178 yards, averaging 22 yards a kick return. Not too bad for a freshman. So leading tackler, Caleb Montgomery, with 33 tackles. Our leading guy with broken up passes is a tie between Caleb and Chris Zinn. They both have 4. And one thing we never talk about on this show, man, we never talk about,
right,
and I wanted to bring this up because this deserves to be brought up. Eli Downs, 13 of 15 for the season on PATs, man. That is impressive, man. The kid has missed 2 extra points the entire season so far, and he deserves a shout-out
for
that.
And I think they were both blocked. I don't think he's missed one that he's actually kicked.
Really?
Yeah, I think both of them were blocked.
Yeah, so, I mean, and we've been, how many years have we gone through kicking, and
we've never had
anybody.
Let's also point out that he kicked a 20-some-yard field goal against Southeastern in the Jamboree game.
Yeah,
from the left hash.
And the kid's a freshman, by the way.
And he's a freshman. And
he's a freshman.
He's kicking ball. He's off the tee. He's kicking it to the 20.
Yeah.
So you know in a couple years that ball's going in the end zone.
Yep.
Because especially if he focuses on kicking. And that's what we've never had. We've never had that one person to just focus on kicking. Right? You know it.
Yeah.
You didn't even kick back in the day.
We did, didn't
so,
we? Well, we scored every two-point conversion. Why kick? Anyway. So, yeah. Yeah, but Eli Dells deserves a shout-out. The kid is playing amazing. He's a great kicker.
Right.
And we've got a kid that, like I said, I mean, obviously he's legit as a freshman. We're always going to have this. As his leg gets stronger, we're going to have a potential field goal kicker as a couple seasons go on.
Yeah, and the last time we had a field goal was against Memphard at Memphard. I think it was your junior year? Senior year? Junior year, senior year?
It's been that long since a field goal?
Yeah.
Really?
At Memphard, it was
Nick Hearn.
Was a 30, I think a 36-yarder or 32-yarder. A deep kick.
That's a good kick.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's a pretty good kick. And it was wet. It rained that night.
Yeah.
Interesting. That's crazy. So, yeah.
I was there. I saw it.
We're going to see it. He's going to be kicking field goals soon. And
I was going
to
look
at how much does that take off of the offense and help us out to get to the 20 and not have to worry about getting a touchdown? Did you kick a field
goal?
Oh,
yeah. But, we'll score, though.
Maybe two, though. So, but anyway, okay. So that's the midseason stats. Just wanted to throw something out there.
Wait. Before you get away from this,
okay.
Eli Downs has 13 extra points.
Yes.
Now, we know the schedule is going to ease up a little bit,
mm-hmm.
especially over the next 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Okay. He's got 13 extra points.
Yeah.
The most in a season is 23. We could break
Kevin
that.
Kevin Cottle. Who was it?
Ryan Cottle.
Ryan Cottle.
Kevin Cottle had 17.
Okay.
Philip Lash in 99 had 18, and Ryan Cottle in 96 had 23.
Yeah, because we're going to be scoring more touchdowns.
Right. So that's only 10 more to tie the record. I feel pretty confident that we'll score 10 more
records
times.
Records are getting smashed all over this field, man.
And they're another thing, let me just point this out. The record for most extra points in a career is 40. He'll be halfway to that.
Next year.
He'll be halfway to that this year.
This year, yeah, yeah.
So that's going down, man. That's over.
He might be our next D1 recruit. He might be awesome. Be the next kid going somewhere.
Now, Kevin Cottle does have the record for field goals in a season with 4 and field goals in a career with 5.
Yeah, I'd say that's probably gone at some point, too, to be honest with you. These kids can do some things. So,
mm-hmm. Okay, so let's get over this. We'll come back with the TVC review. Welcome back to Episode 8 of the Viking Red Zone Podcast, brought to you by J&K Contracting. One call does it all, 698-3521. It's time for the TVC Review. The TVC Review brought to you by One Tactical Uniforms and Supplies. It's a new sponsor this week, Lugs.
New sponsor, yep.
Sponsor, One Tactical. I'll give the address there at 65378. Infirmary Road, just outside of MacArthur. Your number is 740-577-5299. If you need anything from T-shirts, hats,
he's got
shoulder pads, helmets. I mean, he does everything, right?
Got a huge closeout sale on Under Armour. He actually sells Under Armour.
That's cool.
And it's expensive, but he's got closeouts on Under Armour right now. He said he's running. Good deals on stuff. Come to him, he'll give you a great deal on something.
Now, he also has a Facebook page, One Tactical Uniform and Supplies. Just search that on Facebook and you can follow him. Check out some of the stuff that he's done, and it's really cool. It's good stuff. Yep. I know Brad Rose does a lot, gets a lot of stuff from him. I think one time he actually showed me his gym bag. I don't know where. I think we're in the parking lot somewhere, but he showed me his gym bag because I actually was like, well, where'd you get that at? You know, it was pretty cool. It was a Vinton County gym bag. Mm-hmm. And, he said he Actually got it from there. So a lot of good stuff. And they're going to sponsor the TVC Review. So it'll be One Tactical TVC Review from now on.
That's right.
So let's...
Crazy week.
Let's dive into it. Do you want to give the...
I'm going to let you give the records from last week if you want, man. I'll let you do that. I'll do one. And Brad Rose did it with us last week, obviously. We got Ryan doing it with us this week. But Brad Rose did it with us last week on our rapid fire predictions.
Right.
Brad finished 6-1. That was an awesome job, Brad Rose.
Very good, very good.
First time. Proud of you. We'll let Nathan take over the rest of it. So.
Well, you got to rode his coattails.
How do you lead and ride the coattails? How does that work?
Well, what I'm saying is he would make a pick, and then you would make the same pick.
Well, I'd already made the pick in my head, though.
That's bullcrap. I know that's not true.
Yeah.
You guys talked before, you said, well, we got to at least be one difference, so that way you don't get, in his head.
Now, only a crazy man would have picked River Valley over Meggs. I mean, obviously, me and Brad had to pick Meggs. I mean, come on. I mean, only a crazy man would do that. So,
right. This crazy man was almost right.
Yeah. Well, you were 31-0 wrong at halftime.
Yeah, but I was 38-34 wrong at the end of the game.
Yeah. That was scrub time. There's a lot of mop-up time going on there.
They scored 34 points in the last 3 minutes.
Still wrong, okay.
All right. Lugs went 7-0, and I went 1-6.
Can we say that one more time?
Lugs went 7-0, and I went 1-6.
Not quite 10-0, but it's close.
I got a question. As an avid listener myself, did you throw this on purpose? No. I was scratching my noggin.
No, I really was. I went with my heart last week and not my head.
Because I was like, wait a minute. Nate, what did you say? I was yelling at you at my car on my way home from Columbus all week last week because I re-listened to all of them. And this one, I was like, what's he doing? And I thought he's gonna be a genius.
He thought he was gonna pull away. He thought he had the inside track. Again, Bill Belichick gave him some insight last week, and he thought he had it all.
Down five games.
Yeah,
I got 5 weeks left.
Yeah, that's
right.
That's
true.
I'll be all right.
You never did say what your record was this week, though. What was your record?
I did. I said it twice.
Did you say it? Okay. All right.
What if he couldn't handle the pressure, so he threw it on purpose, so you would have to feel the pressure, so he's got nothing to lose. You do.
I think he was trying to make Brad feel good. I think that's what he was trying to. Maybe you were trying to make Brad feel good. Is that what it was?
No, I think you were because you kept taking the same picks. Oh, Brad, you're so smart.
I hate to agree with Brad again.
Again, I did better than him, see? So he rode my coattails. You didn't...
He picked before you.
You didn't know, but I was texting him what to say. You just didn't
know.
That's
why he kept looking down.
Yeah, I was texting him the whole time. I was like, no, don't take River Valley. That's crazy. Don't take River Valley. That's all I was doing. And so,
all right, Tim. Okay.
All right, let's go over it. So, all right, Wellston and Alexander, 36-13. I don't think any of us thought they were going to hammer them this bad, but I do think I kind of predicted a pretty decent win by Wellston, though. But you had Alexander winning. Me and Brad had Wellston winning. What'd you think? How'd you feel about that outcome?
Well, I was kind of surprised. I guess Wellston just had a bad game against West because I kind of felt like Alexander, with the way they played in the first half against Athens and the way Wellston played the previous week, that it would have been a good game, a good close game, but I was obviously wrong. And I do believe I did say, though, the loser doesn't win a league game, so we'll see if that comes true.
I think it's going to.
We'll see. We'll see.
We said at the beginning of the year Alexander was going to struggle this year. Like I said, you win with seniors, you rebuild with freshmen, and they're rebuilding. That's what they're doing.
Right. Did they win? Who won TVC last year?
Alexander.
Yep.
So they're going to go from first to worst, according to your predictions.
According to our predictions. Seasons. Yes.
Yeah.
That's a tough pill to swallow for the coach.
They made the playoffs and won their first playoff game ever last year.
Yeah, they won a playoff game last year.
Yeah.
They did?
So they're going to go from winning a playoff game to possibly last.
Didn't they play Zane Trace?
They played Zane Trace in week 12.
Mm-hmm. Second round.
Round of the playoffs, and they got beat.
Zane Trace went to the third round last
year? Zane Trace played Wheelersburg in the third round last year and got beat 35-0.
Does that make you feel good being from this area, though?
It does. It always does. I don't care if it's from our league or from the soon-to-be-defunct SEOAL or the SVC. Any local team.
And teams in that SEOAL are holding on there. They're holding on by
strain. When they get into the playoffs, I like to see them do. There's only one team I won't root for when they get into postseason play, and I'm not going to say who it is. But everybody else, I want them to. I went to the Athens state title game. I rooted for Athens just hard as, you know, the Athens guy sitting beside me. I wanted them to win.
There are three teams I won't root for, and I will say who they are.
Who?
Nelsonville. I hate them.
I don't think you can say you hate them.
He whispered that, by the way. He didn't say that one very loud. He just kind of whispered that one.
Just beat that out. Like Jackson. You did your pick.
Beep.
Two of those teams I never beat in high school, so that's, you know, right, that's justification.
Right. Yeah.
And then, of course, naturally, Wellston. But I have no I have friends from all of those areas.
Yes.
But
this is a Wellston bashing zone. You can bash Wellston all you want to.
Jay Edwards is running for representative in the 94th District.
Really?
Yeah.
That's the brother to Hunter, right?
Hunter's older brother. Yeah, they really good. He kicked our butts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was.
He made a half-court turnaround jumper to beat the basketball team one year.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah, at the buzzer, man. That was awesome.
There was a fight at half-court because of that shot.
Who was in that
Ranch
fight?
Ranch Haven.
Really?
Oh, my. That's surprising.
That's crazy.
Yeah, anyways, that kind of came out of nowhere. So let's just keep on going here.
Okay.
Meg's in River Valley. We mentioned that before. Meg's 38, River Valley 34.
Not quite as close as the score indicated, to be honest. I talked to my inside connections at Meg's. They were up 31-0.
32, wasn't it? At half?
I think it was 31.
I thought it was 32.
He's got one more touchdown, which would have made 38, right? So,
well, unless they didn't get the extra point.
Yeah, maybe. Either way.
Anyways.
They had them shut out at halftime. They didn't put the backups in, but they kind of let the dogs off a little bit, and then they got a pick, and then they got a fumble. They returned one defensive touchdown. They returned a kickoff, I think, for a touchdown, or a punt for a touchdown. So, and this was all in the fourth quarter, by the way. They literally made this run in the fourth quarter on them. So,
really?
I ain't gonna lie, it was 26. Maybe you're right. It was 33. 26-32, and butts were puckering up there in Meg's, buddy. They were getting a little freaked out, and they ended up going down and getting a score and kept their lead a little bit. But it was not even a contest, and things started going right for River Valley, and they got back in it. But okay. I mean, 34-38, they obviously had their shot. You know, they could have won it. But.
Right.
I think what this game proves is, and we beat Megs last week, and everybody wants to say, oh, Megs must be awful. I don't think Megs is awful. They're a good team.
We mentioned that last week. The rest of the league is going to find out that Megs is not a one-man show, and that the Helton boy is actually a pretty good quarterback.
He is, and the little Zach Bartram had a heck of a game. He had a really good game,
another
too,
game.
So he's stepping up, too.
Okay, so we'll go with the final. Well, obviously we lost, so we'll go with the final. We talked about that game. We'll go with the final league. Mm-hmm. Member in the non-league portion of their schedule. Last week, Nelson Bjork in a huge rivalry game with the Logan Chieftains just destroy Logan 35-0 in Logan. I expected Nelsonville to win.
Yeah.
But I didn't expect it to be 35.
No, because I think we kind of think Logan's good, but they're just too tough of a schedule, and I think we talked about it. Nelsonville killed them.
Right.
That was a beatdown, man.
Logan
at Logan.
Came out hot, though. I was listening to their game before I came to the game, Athens game.
Yeah.
Onside kick. I mean.
It was.
Logan.
I think Nelsonville had a one-score lead at the end of the first quarter. So it was a pretty competitive game for a little bit.
Yeah, for a little bit.
But then they just kept pouring it on, and they just didn't stop. I mean, it was Nelsonville just totally took over the game. And
they're talented, man. I mean, like I said, I know I think Athens is going to win it, but Nelsonville has the kids to beat Athens. If anybody can do it, it's Nelsonville.
That'll be a Week 10 game.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay,
definitely.
So we'll go to the final high school game that we picked last week. We went ahead and picked the Wheelersburg and Jackson game. Jackson's last road game of the year, hard to believe.
That's hard to believe.
Yeah. Well,
I know you like Rucco, but what was you thinking on this one?
Well, now listen. The game was close at half.
Was it close at half?
It was 24-13. Wheelersburg kicked a field goal.
Really?
Right before half. It was 21-13, and I'm thinking, all right, I'm in prime position to steal this one.
Mm-hmm.
I look pretty smart here. And then, so then, anyways, I checked the score at halftime, and then I checked the score after the game was over, and I saw that it was 38-13, and that was the final score, and Wheelersburg is the real deal.
Yeah, they're good.
I'm not surprised Wheelersburg beat Jackson, but I just felt like, you know, Jackson might give them a game, and maybe it would kind of shock them a little bit because they've not really had a game all year, and they probably won't until they meet Waverly.
Yeah, they're Wheelersburg is good. I mean, they're the best team in the area.
Oh, without question, without a doubt.
Yeah, they're going to be a state contender for sure.
Waverly's the second best team, but we'll find that out later.
Go ahead and give yourself credit. Go ahead. Do it. We'll let you. We'll give you 10 seconds right now. Do it.
All I'm saying is, as I said before the season, that Waverly was going to go 9-1 and lose to Wheelersburg. And I might be wrong. They might go 10-0.
Yeah, yeah. And I will confirm that you did say that. And at the time, I thought you were crazy. But
that's, I know. A lot of people did.
That's why you're the man, though. That's why I got you, bud.
Well, I did go 1-6 last week, so let's hold off on that. We'll do
even the Bengals lose a game every now and again. It happens,
yeah,
man.
Especially in January. We will go to...
That was very quick.
The he'll edit that out, too. I know he will. Rick Neal, if you're listening, he cuts all those out. He cuts all those out.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that's great.
So we'll go to the...
I'll leave that one in there for you.
Okay. We'll go to the we'll go to the college games that we picked last week. Obviously, Ohio State and Ohio University were off, so we picked a couple games that we thought would be okay. I think Lugs just picked two games that he actually kind of was really confident on the outcome.
I picked the underdog, though.
Wisconsin destroys Michigan State in East Lansing, 30-6.
Yep, picked that one. Yep, that's part of my 7-0 run right there.
Yes, and Florida went to Tennessee, the most overrated SEC team in the country. Yeah. Tennessee's going down. Ohio University going away.
Well, I mean, they played the MAC team last week.
The Volunteers beat Florida 38-28.
An impressive comeback.
Yeah, that was.
Yeah, they were down, and I thought, yeah.
Yeah. I even texted you like, oh, man, this sucks. I was almost going to run the tables. And then like a half hour later, I'm like, woohoo, look at this.
You sent me a meme of an old lady sweeping.
Yeah, I did. That was great.
Okay, so that's going to do it. The TVC, One Tactical Uniforms and Supplies TVC Review. We'll be back with a little look into the 7th grade program.
Oh, yep. Yeah.
Next.
Forgot.
Welcome back to episode 8, the Viking Red Zone podcast, brought to you by J&K Contracting. One call, we do it all. Call them at 698-3521. And now we will get into our guest segment here with Ryan Stewart, junior high football coach, 7th grade football coach, junior high track coach, correct?
I did this past year, yeah.
Okay, past year. Before we get into what you do with the junior high and how... a week in the life of, well, we've all been in junior high, but a week in the life of junior high football, from your perspective. We're getting ready to play Alexander, so before we get into the junior high talk, what do you remember about that game? Just give us a little synopsis of that.
I remember that we just got out of a crushing loss to Nelsonville, a game that we felt we should have and could have won.
You probably should have won that game. You blew
and
it. I was at that game, too.
Well... We didn't start
an interception, right? Or you went for it on fourth down right before halftime.
Yeah.
What a dumb move.
Okay. You
did
know
it cost
what?
The score? I mean,
we had full momentum. Full.
Oh, yeah, man. We were going to beat the crap out of them.
Yeah, we would have won the TVC.
Flipped it over.
We would have won the TVC that year.
Anyways.
Wow. No kidding.
Let's talk about the Alex game because that was the game we actually won. So what about that one?
I remember going into the locker room that week and Coach Yates was like, we're opening up the playbook. Scratch everything. So we were like, okay, what do you mean? He said, we're calling it the Benton County Air Show.
It worked.
I was just at the air show last week. The real one. I had a chicken dinner, and it was great.
But anyway.
They can talk some more about food on this show than I do. That's kind of weird, you know? I'm just saying, anyway, okay, sorry. Yeah.
So we opened up the playbook. We were in shotgun already. We ran spread, and we just started throwing. And I don't think Alexander realized, thought we were going to do that because we, again, you know, I apparently there's a record for 150 completion or attempts in a season. That's 15 attempts a game. What, you know, name a high school that's really good at football that does that, and that's a record. You know, that's
yeah,
not
right.
A record.
Right, right, right. You know I see what you're saying, yeah.
That's a pitiful. No, not.
That's an average.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know. But anyway, we did that. I don't think Alex expected that because in the,
right.
the last, this is 2007, so the last decade or
yeah.
so,
mm-hmm.
it's been, first down up the middle,
oh,
second down outside, third down, you know.
Probably
I mean,
forever.
We were a power offense, and, you know, so Nolan decided, you know what? Let's open it up.
Do something different. And it worked.
We threw it all over the place. And I still threw an interception.
Oh, so there was an interception
but
in that game.
I'll say this. There was. I threw a seven route, and Andy went across and ran a post. And I threw it. I dropped back. I threw it to him. And I hit him right in his hands and went through his hands and hit him in his face. The guy picked it off. And I was mad. Everybody was mad at Andy. I actually was like, hey, leave Andy alone. And I told him he owed me one. Well, later on that game, I threw like a 50-yard pass to Andy in the back of the end zone. And it should have been picked. The guy, Andy was not open. That guy tipped it. And Andy, as he that guy tips it, just plucks it out of his hands and falls in the end zone with it.
It's actually a 32-yarder.
Yeah. Like I said, 50-something touchdown.
As the years go on, you pack a yard or two on it.
I threw a 150-yard pass in 1991.
Yeah.
Listen, this is not the roast of me. I'm just here talking about the seventh grade.
I'm just saying, I want to be factual.
It started out not being a roast, but Nathan changed that, didn't he?
Oh, interception that.
No. Hey, four touchdown passes in that game, that's still a record. That is still a record.
And I expect Nathan to take it.
I hope he does.
I
hope he takes it the rest of the year.
I hope he does. I hope he takes seven.
But I'm just saying, that's still a record. And that's pretty cool that you have a record like that at a high school like ours that had a lot of success. Maybe not necessarily in the air, but we've had, a pretty good amount of success as a program throughout history.
Yeah.
And you have that record. I don't care if it's four or one or two. You have that record. And that's got to feel pretty cool that you actually have that.
It's pretty neat to... When you look at what he did as a quarterback, too, and I'm going to tell you, this is how I reference this, even though we weren't big passing schools. I mean, Ryan is up there at 1, 2, 4, 3, 7. I mean, he's all over the place in every single category.
Every category.
It's almost like, Boomer Esiason for the Bengals. You're not always number one, but you're always number...
I can't believe you just
I set that one up like a week ago, by the way. I set that up. Nathan has walked out of the room. on a serious note. Seriously, it really is, though. Yeah, you really are. Okay, you come back now. It's just Boomer. He's still better than Bernie. Come on. We've completely went sidetracked again. You could have rolled with that. You could have rolled with it.
I rolled out of the room.
Boomer is in the top 10 in almost every passing category in the NFL, though. So. Well, how many times has the Browns been to a Super Bowl?
We can't.
Listen.
Don't count 1923 when they didn't wear helmets. Because there's only five teams in the league. Anyone can make it when you only got to go through two teams in the playoffs.
No, you argue Jim Brown's one of the best running backs ever.
No. He is one of the best running backs ever.
How can you say that and not say his team wasn't awesome?
Because
listen to me.
Barry Sanders was too, but his team sucked.
And when they were in the AFL, okay?
We're so far off the rise.
They won all the championships. Four of them.
How did we get here?
Yeah.
From when they became a team to when they left the AFL and joined the NFL, they won four championships. Four straight championships out of four.
There was eight teams in the league.
I don't care. Listen to the point.
Okay.
I will make this point. The first year they were in the NFL, the NFL did not like the AFL. They took the Browns in. Okay, this is what they did. They said, all right, Cleveland, you think you're hot crap. We're going to put you up against the Philadelphia Eagles, the team that just won the NFL championship. Not a Super Bowl, but it was the NFL championship.
Mm-hmm.
What happens? What happened in that game? You were there.
I wasn't old enough to be there.
The Browns destroyed the Eagles and was like, what's up, NFL?
It's a regular season game.
And they won, I think, three or four times. Oh, man, I can't believe I don't know this. But they won like three or four NFL championships. And then the 2 years after they won the last one, they started calling it the Super Bowl, and that's stupid.
Yeah,
it still counts.
Because we haven't won one yet.
It doesn't really count.
It counts. I don't care.
Count.
Let's get back to it. I'm mad now. Art Modell, I can't stand that guy.
No one in the
okay.
Problem. I was just I was comparing you to Boomer Esiason.
Are you going to leave all that in there?
I was sitting there while you were saying it, going, how much of this can I leave in it? Can I edit? That's what I was going through my head the whole time you saying it.
All right. So let's
get back to Ryan here.
We've talked about everything but the junior high. So let's go ahead and go into the junior high. Quickly, before you go into detail about like what your week's like, just let us know how your team, the seventh grade team, has done so far this year, and we'll go from there.
Well, I know you guys call me the junior high coach. Appreciate that title, by the way. But if you ask the junior high coaches, I'm the positions coach. I'm just the QB coach.
Well, you're one of. I mean, that's what we mean.
Before we go that far, maybe, and even, I watch them every day. maybe you could tell us personnel-wise where everybody is, because I know there's 5-6 coaches. You can just give us a rundown of who's the coaches and what they do.
Yeah, give everybody a shout-out.
Because I don't know. I don't think they do have a 7th or an 8th grade particularly, right? It's more of just everybody's
coaching.
Yeah,
all of us coach both grades.
I see. Yeah. All right. That makes sense.
Let's see. Coach Heyer is the assistant defensive coordinator with Coach Ward. JD's the offensive coordinator. I'm also his assistant, but I'm the QB coach. I help the defensive back sometimes. And you've got if he's listening to this, I'm gonna apologize. But we've got a kicking coach, and he's from Jackson. And he's a great guy. He just added me on Facebook, and I forgot his name already, so I apologize to you, sir. He's a kicking coach. He knows what he did. He played for Morehead.
Kentucky.
And he's also a Jackson County Patriot.
Really?
Yeah, he's the kicker.
Wow.
Kind of a big deal around here.
Yeah.
Just saying. Real nice guy.
And I noticed that he's there every day almost now, right? I thought he was going to come in a little bit. And
his work schedule's a little rough, but when he came in, he's there all day working with the guys.
That's cool. Mm-hmm. That's good.
And when we miss a field goal or an extra point because of a snap or something, he loses. He just, it breaks his heart. You know what I mean? He said, I get more nervous in these games than I do when I played.
Like a kitten so, dies.
Rames, I know Rames is just kind of the headmaster.
Yep,
I think.
He is the man in charge. Yep. He calls the shots. We just do what he says. Yep, he's the puppet master.
He's good. I'll tell you, I've seen him for 2 years. Now, Rames is really good with the kids. He really is. Kids like playing for him. So.
Right. Yeah. How are you guys doing this year as a unit?
I would say that if I was to talk about both groups, 7th grade class, and of course, when you got 7th grade, there's a big difference between a 7th grade body and an 8th grade body.
Right.
They are growing at that age. And that 7th grade class has got a lot of skill position players. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of talent there. Not to say that none of them are all talented, but I just mean what stands out is their skill positions. Right. Evan Spires is a great quarterback. I mean, you've got C.C. Collins. He's a heck of a running back. Zane, and you've got Chad Boy there. Brock. They've got a lot of talent there. And then you go to the 8th grade and they have – I guess 7th grade they're better at passing. Mm-hmm. They've got a lot of wideouts that are experienced. I think they threw in Pee Wee. Mm-hmm. Evan Spires.
Which is weird to think.
Yeah.
Yeah, they can throw. They're a good passing team.
Evan Spires throws.
You don't think of 7th graders passing a lot, but that's kind of cool.
He throws a good ball. And we've actually got some hands. But you go to the 8th grade – and they're obviously the size of their bodies are a lot different. They're bigger boys.
Right.
But they're more of a power team, whereas a 7th grade might be more of a flashy.
Which could be a great mix when they get into,
when they can combine them. I think they're going to be pretty impressive when you combine them. So, yeah.
Right. That's always good to have contrasting, grade levels like that.
Yeah, you've got a lot of big linemen. You got that Sites boy. If he ever gets angry, he could be good.
Yeah.
He could be good.
He's a big boy.
You got Zach. Zach's our quarterback right now, and he is one of the most coachable kids I coached him in track. Good kid. Comes from a good family. That kid will do anything you want. He's a little short, but you tell him to do something, and he is good at it. He just got that fire in him, man. Good. He's always making plays, and he impresses you. Like, if you try to judge him by his cover, you'll be surprised.
Right.
You will lose every time if you bet against that kid because he's that kind of competitor.
He'll put a lick on kids in games, too. Yep. I mean, you don't see it coming, but he probably, from what I notice in games, his technique tackling is second to none. I mean, he'll take kids down twice his size just because his technique's flawless. Helmet's on the football. He wraps them up.
Right.
If they're running him, they got to run him over to break the tackle, and then they fall. I mean, he's really good at it. So yeah.
Yeah, and then you got Luggs' boy, Boomer, who honestly looks like he's a junior in high school. He's a big boy.
Yeah, he comes in and out here quite a bit. Yeah. We need to get him on.
Yeah, he probably won't talk.
Why?
He's a very bashful kid.
Is he a Bengals fan, too?
Yeah.
Yes, he's a Bengals fan.
His first name, right?
I do know his first name.
He's kind of forced into Bengaldom.
I guess.
It's kind of.
That's a sad thing to do to your kid, telling you.
I had people in Arizona tell me that was child abuse. So I was like, come on, really?
Back when Arizona was, great.
Well, it's like the Johnny Cash song, A Boy Named Sue.
Yeah.
Make it tough.
Here we go again.
Now we're off track.
Okay.
We better calm down.
So what's we did this with Brad and the Little Vikes. Didn't we do it with Brad? Did we do it with somebody else? When I asked him about the week, what's a week like? I think it was Brad. Mm-hmm. Just tell us what a typical week is like in the program, just an everyday normal week.
Well, usually Mondays, we like to watch film of last week's game. Mm-hmm. So we can we'll do it. We usually try to separate it with the classes. So one will go practice, like if there's a game day or something.
Right, right, right.
We'll watch film. We'll go through it as a team, and then we'll go to practice. You know, we'll usually run through. We'll try to make our corrections, and then we'll try to run a little bit of team offense, team defense. Mm-hmm. But right now we're in the middle of the season, so it's like Monday, watch film. Tuesday, game. Wednesday, walkthrough. Thursday, game. Right. Friday, we try not to – Coach Ramsey doesn't like to keep the kids on a Friday, like to let them go to the high school games and,
yeah,
you know, give them the day off.
Yeah, right.
So we don't really usually have practices on Fridays. But, I mean, like before off-season, mm-hmm, every Tuesdays and Thursdays, all the football players would meet up with Ramsey, Coach Ramsey, and the other guys, and they would go lift, they'd work out, they'd run. You know, I mean,
now did you guys work out at the high school?
They did work out in the parking lot at the high school. They'd push sleds on their back.
Right.
They would lift weights at the high school.
Okay.
I was coaching track at the time. I wasn't quite on the staff at the time.
Yeah.
But
they do utilize the same.
Yeah,
same facilities.
Yeah, and they were killing it. Good. We were doing conditioning in February for track, and the football players were already out there working.
That's great. Mm-hmm. That's what you want to see.
Yeah, they worked hard. It was.
They had a lot of numbers this past spring.
Yeah, we've mentioned that before. The junior high has what? Is it a little bit more or a little bit less?
53, 54 total
so
kids.
So something like that, those two classes have more than the entire high school program.
Yes, they do.
Freshmen through seniors.
It's a big class. These kids are, you know, I hate to say it, but you're almost, all the way through the Little Vikes, it was the same thing. They were all big, but you just got a lot of former football players. And these are the kids that are all playing. And I mean, it might be bad for the basketball because, you know, we're all football dads and we want our kids playing football. And these numbers stay pretty high because, you know, we push them that way. Right. That's kind of how we direct them.
So that's good for you guys.
Yeah, and it only helps the high school.
Yeah. Right. I mean, especially a few years from now.
Yeah, I mean, you got guys like Brad pushing. They're introducing the kids to the love of the game. And them kids are like, I love football. You know, they get a little taste of what football's about. And then they get to compete and they fall in love with the sport.
Yeah.
And then when they get to junior high,
that.
It's a little bit different because, you know,
excuse you, love.
It's not as much fun as it was in Pee Wee because we have a little bit of, you know, it's more
about winning.
Yeah,
right?
It's not as much about winning,
but it is more about winning football, than what it is in Little Vikes.
It is
it's
a little
still,
bit more serious
because
we're prepping them now for
high school. If you lose every game but your kids get better each week, I think you would take that over winning every game and everybody just kind of staying the same, being like
absolutely. I mean, we have – unfortunately for us, we've been able to actually win most of our games this year. I think 7th grade's lost, what, one?
7th grade lost one, and 8th grade's lost two.
8th grade's lost two.
Right. So you get the best of both worlds. You're being competitive and you're seeing improvement in your play.
Yes, we're getting better. I mean, we're just trying to get them ready. If we can keep the numbers up, I mean, the high school, it's only going to help the high school.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Without a doubt.
Like our freshman class this year, I think that's the bulk of the team.
Yeah, 20 players, 21?
I think they had 12. They had 12 that came out for freshmen. So.
I thought it was higher than that. Maybe I'm thinking 8th grade team.
I thought the freshman class had almost like 20-some kids.
They had 20-some kids that from 8th grade, but somehow the transition dropped a little bit. But
really?
I mean, 12's still not bad. I mean, they just take a couple of sophomores, I think, and they keep that freshman team, that freshman schedule. So
well, you average 14. You average 12 a class, that's 48 kids, which is about where we're at right now.
Yeah.
So obviously, we want to see more in the lines of like 20 a class.
Yes.
But
I mean, when you were in high school,
we had 65 or 68 kids on the roster.
Yeah. I mean, my freshman class, you guys were seniors. I mean, there was a seat in the locker room. Every seat was full.
It was in the 60s, and you have to have at least 50 to 60 kids on your roster to be a legitimate threat at winning a TVC championship.
Yeah. I mean, you gotta have kids to choose from.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
And not only that, but it pushes. It's a competition. You know, your spot's not given; it's earned. And you probably see a lot of that in the junior high because you have so many kids and only two teams.
Right.
Not you know, you don't have a freshman team, a JV team, and a varsity team, and you've got more kids in two grades. So you probably see that a lot.
Yeah, we got, and we're still in the transition of getting them ready for high school. But at the same time, they're still young. We want them to go to high school and play.
Yeah.
So we have to, you know. We want everybody to get into play, and we want everyone to compete so they can play.
Mm-hmm.
And not always does that happen, and, you know, sometimes we get dropped the ball because we get lost in the heat of the moment.
Right,
you know?
Right.
But that's just human error. But we try our best to make sure everybody plays and everybody has fun because, I mean, at the end of the day, it is about having fun.
Mm-hmm.
And at this level, you know, just learn the fundamentals, have fun with your friends, build a camaraderie because everybody's played football. That's what you love the most is being in that battle with your boys. And then going up to the next level and having fun with it. I mean, seeing what you guys can do. How good have you been? How good could you be?
Yeah, and I think one thing you guys, well, I know you guys do, and they've done this for a couple of years, and these little things here kind of matter. They really do. But, I mean, like you went to a trip to Cincinnati to training camp. You know, that was super cool. The kids love that stuff. I mean, even if you're not a Bengal fan, the kids get to go down there and see pro players. But, yeah, there were a few coaches that didn't go, but we won't name any names. But, you know, you got that experience there for the kids going down there. And then they went to an OU game just a couple weeks ago, too. So, they, you know, they're getting – and he pushes them to go to see the high school kids. So these kids get a lot of looking up to other programs and looking up to the colleges and the pros and stuff. And they get to see that.
Right.
That makes them want to get up to that high school level and play. So that helps keep their numbers up, too.
And on the flip side, we have him helping with the Flag Football League.
That's cool.
For the little kids.
So in turn, they're turning around and helping out.
And those kids are looking up to them as they get older.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
we got a good program here as far as all the parents and coaches that help and you guys, all you guys that, like you two going out here and starting up a podcast.
Nobody listens to us.
Oh, lies. But people see that, and that all it takes is a little bit of caring, man. A little bit of attention drawn to the program, and it's like, oh, my gosh, Finn County's got a radio thing. We've got a podcast thing. We got all these groups, you know. I mean, that's what –
Bob did drop our podcast on the air last Friday.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Nice.
Well, I text him. I always text in whenever I'm listening. Mm-hmm. I always keep him updated on how the Indians are doing, and I did. I sent him a picture. Well, he was talking about last year's game with Athens. Saltzman scored 7 touchdowns in the first half. Well, he said that he couldn't remember the kid's name, but he scored like 6 touchdowns in the first half, and – He plays at like an Ivy League school now. That's what he said. Well, I knew, you know, I'm driving through Wellston at the time when I hear that. Mm-hmm. Don't ask me why I was there. I'm driving through there whenever I hear that, and I just sent him a quick text. Obviously, I pulled over. Don't text and drive.
No. Obviously. Yes.
Mm. Do not text and drive.
Yeah.
So I pull over, and I text him back. It was Saltzman, 7 touchdowns in the first half, and he plays at Georgetown. So he said that. He said, oh, okay, well, this is what it was. And he said my name, and he said that we had an awesome podcast.
All right, go Bob. Which we have talked to Bob, and he's going to be our guest one of these weeks, by the way, too.
Yeah, so we're going to
have
him on.
Maybe. I mean, you know, we haven't got 100% confirmation, but he did say he wanted to.
He's a busy man.
Yeah.
He's a busy man, and we are 5 weeks in and 5 weeks done. I mean, we're running out of time, so we've got
to
get
started. Yeah, I don't know if he wants to be here for 5 hours like we do every podcast.
Yeah, we would probably have to legitimately
– Yeah.
Get that one done.
Bob might have to just walk out on us or something.
Right.
Yeah, okay. Anyways, so we'll go back to junior high here. But, yeah, sidetracked again. But, yeah, anyways, yeah, I know Ramsey and them always try to do things for the kids. Not just always football-related on the football field, but do things that are going to be fun for the kids. And he actually schedules it all out, too, and stuff. And like I said, it's really cool. Ramsey really thinks about what is best for the kids. And I think that's a good sign of a coach, too. You know, you need guys that can teach the X's and O's, and that's something Ryan does a great job of, too, and I've seen him do it. And you also need guys that, you know, can kind of be there for the kids and a fun factor, too. And you got a great balance of that in the junior high. And I think that'll show. I think the numbers will transition to the high school, too, because them kids are going to start loving that stuff. So.
Right, and especially when they're successful. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're going to – it's always fun when you win, right? Everything's always fun when you win.
Yeah.
So – if these kids stay successful, and we know it's not all about winning and losing at this level, but it is when you get into high school. You want to win. I mean, you don't go out there and get participation trophies for playing, you know, a game of football.
And that's where the life lessons are taught.
Although the Cleveland Browns did get a certificate last year for being a member of the NFL.
They give them a certificate?
Yeah, I got a picture of it on my phone. I'll have to send it to you.
Why'd they give them? Is that the first year they've actually been a member?
Well, they.
I'm sorry, man. Right. Gosh, it's too easy. Okay. I got to quit doing that. Okay.
So, when is. This is Monday. When is your next game?
I believe we'll have one Tuesday. I think we have one Wednesday. I think our Alexander game with the 8th grade got moved to Wednesday.
Okay, so the Tuesday game's the 7th grade, and where is that at home?
It should be, because we flip-flop.
Okay, and you were on the road last week.
We were at Chauncey.
You were in Chauncey last week.
Chauncey, whatever they're calling it these days. Those crazy
kids.
It's
Chauncey. Listen, I'm not even going to go there. It's Chauncey. I would go into a story about olden days, but I'm not going to. Anyways.
They reminisce.
Well, my daughter was.
They weren't going to do
it.
They just went to it.
But my daughter was.
My daughter was a little Miss Chauncey Dover, or Chauncey Dover, which she had to say it that way. And I kept telling her, no! It's Chauncey. No, it's not that. It's Chauncey. So, anyways, but I'm not even going to go there. So, you got a game Tuesday and Wednesday?
I believe so.
Wednesday's game, the 8th grade, will be at Alexander, you think?
No, actually, I think
they both at home?
I think they might both be at home.
Okay, well, this is a place where people come to listen to facts. You know.
Yeah.
So
yeah, they really do.
We only spit facts here. But well, yeah, we think it's both at home.
Well, if I guess I should have brought my facts with
me. Well, how about this? How about do they
the schedule I think's changed too. I don't think I have the right schedule.
Yeah, do they have like Facebook page or anything like that?
I don't think the junior high does. Oh, we have the athletic boosters page.
Okay, so they'll probably post they'll probably post where it's at.
If you need to know, Jenny Wells is a great one to contact. She's the president, I think, the junior high athletic boosters.
Yeah.
So she'd be able to tell you.
Yeah, go support them.
Yes.
It's good. They're good. They're fun to watch. They score points and they play.
It's a lot slower pace than the high school, though.
Yeah, but, well, yeah, I mean, everything is slower pace compared to that. But
It's fun. The seventh grade's a talented group.
The high school boys
kids
come out and root them on. I see Nayland
cool
and all those boys.
Awesome.
They're always in the stands rooting on them junior high boys. They love it. They eat
good
it up.
And it's always good to watch a game. We say it every week at Martin Kids.
Support the kids, man. Support the kids. That's what it's all about.
Okay, so when we come back, we are going to do the Player of the Week.
We have the Player of the Week.
Okay, we'll do the Player of the Week and wrap this show up. Next. Welcome back to Episode 8 of the Viking Red Zone Podcast, brought to you by J&K Contracting. One call does it all, 698-3521. It's time, Lugs, for the coveted VCVikings.com Player of the Week.
Yes, it is.
Now, we're going to do this like we did last week. You're going to give the list, and our guest, Ryan, is going to give the winner.
All right.
Okay, here we go. VCVikings.com Player of the Week are three candidates for this week, week five against Athens. Our first candidate is Nevin Yates, not to be confused with Nalen. Nevin, his younger brother.
He did this with one arm.
Yes, with one arm. That's right. He's in a cast.
He's in a hand cast.
Nevin Yates had three carries for 79 yards, one touchdown. I think his long carry was a 68-yard rush. He had four tackles and one forced fumble.
Man, how do you tackle somebody with one arm?
I don't know, man, but he did it. I mean, he was close to having more. I mean, he was right in him.
Greg Powell.
Yeah, I've seen that before.
Yeah. He sticks him.
Greg Powell just did interception.
Greg Powell just turned 30, too, by the way. Happy birthday, Greg.
You just turned 30?
Greg.
Freak athlete.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. He was in my grade.
Gotcha. Okay, anyway. second on the list, Ethan Perry. 2.5 tackles in the game. One forced fumble, one forced recovery. This week is kind of a, you know, big plays got you on the list type of game. So, you know, we kind of picked it as who kind of had an important play and an important situation in the game. Ethan Perry actually had a fumble caused, knocked the ball out of a guy's hands, ball goes flying about 5 yards, tackled the guy, jumped up and recovered the football when there was defenders, right? I mean, there were guys there to get it. He actually caused the fumble, tackled the guy, got up, and made the fumble recovery. It was an impressive play. One of the better defensive plays I've seen all season. Yep. So Ethan Perry's our second candidate. Jaden Spires, which I know he's been on the list two or three times now. He's the only one that's made the list this week of the other ones. But Jaden came back from a suspension. Obviously, he didn't play last week. Two receptions, 7 yards. He actually led the team in receiving yards with 7 yards. But he had a huge kickoff return, 44-yard kickoff return. That was really impressive. Got it on the other side of the 54, so one drive. One of the few times we made it on the other side of the 50 the entire night.
It was right after Athens scored their first touchdown, too, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a big play. So three big plays in the game. Nevin Yates, Ethan Perry, Jaden Spires. Super proud of all three of them. Wish we could give them all an award. This was a super close vote, by the way. Every week has been a pretty landslide in the voting systems most of the time. This one came down to two votes is what it came down to in the end. So it was a super close voting thing. We're going to let Ryan announce it. Tell us who won it, man.
Little brother,
Nevin Yates
for the first time this year, right?
First time this year, yep.
It's hard to believe, as much as we talk about him and the plays that he makes, that this is the first time he's been player of the week.
Yeah, I mean, he's and of course, he had the injury. He missed a game or two, right? And then he came back and he only played defense a couple games, too. Yeah. So, I mean, obviously, you know, the athletes get the glory too much. But this is the first game he kind of got a little bit of play on both sides of the ball, and he made a huge play.
Yeah.
Had a big run in the game.
Oh, yeah, huge.
And I'll be honest, he's taking off down the sidelines, and I was like, he's going to get caught. Uh-oh. And he outran them all. He outran the entire Athens defense all the way down the field. It was impressive. And, I mean, Nevin is not a small boy.
He's a little thicker build than older brother Nathan.
He is, man. And I'm telling you what, I was thinking, he's going to run some boys over. It was you got to give the line credit on this play. That was some great blocking. It was a huge hole. He ran through it hard. He got through it, didn't get touched, and he outran the entire secondary. It was a great play.
Awesome.
Congratulations, Nevin Yates, for on the VCVikings.com Player of the Week. We'll have you up on the website in the next day or two.
Now, I believe he is the youngest winner of this award.
Youngest winner? First sophomore to get it?
First sophomore
this
to get
year.
This award.
Yeah.
Maybe right. You know who you... No. Never mind.
I never know where he's going. Ryan's just looking like, what the heck's going on?
Ryan's never won one?
He's been on the list twice.
Been on
this
the
is
list,
third
but
time.
He's never won it.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because the last time he was on the list,
Nalen
broke 18,000 records. So
yeah. Thanks, Nalen.
Yeah, a couple of those was yours.
So, first of many.
That's a pattern. We're going to, like, bring in the old record holders every time he breaks one. And
right.
Crush their dreams and their hopes all in one show.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I'm proud of him.
He's a great player. But again, it's about Nevin this week, so we just want to give Nevin a little props. It was great.
No doubt. Awesome run. Awesome play.
Yeah.
And to do that with one hand, that's...
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if you've ever played with an injury, like, you know, I played my senior year of baseball, the tip of my finger was broken, so that really weighed on me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So you got a cast on and broken arm.
I can't imagine the pain you must have went through.
Oh, yeah.
Was this during golf? When was this?
No, it was baseball.
Baseball.
Okay,
yeah.
I told you I was going to tell you before the podcast. I said I had a story. I'm not going to go into it because it's been so long.
Yeah.
But maybe I'll, if Thursday's is a little quicker, maybe I'll give you the story Thursday.
Okay.
But we'll see. If not, they'll come another time.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm full of stories, too. So that's going to do it for the Athens wrap-up show, the review show, episode 8 of the Viking Red Zone podcast. We will be back on Thursday, and Ryan is going to be with us.
Staying all week again.
He's staying all week. He's going to stay in the guest room where Brad stayed last week.
Yep.
I'm cheap.
He's going to sleep with Bella.
Now, Brad likes spaghetti. What do you want?
Mm. Well, I love pizza.
Okay.
You're in the right place, buddy. I'll tell you that.
I'm thinking about some rice and chicken.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, fitness. Healthy.
Brown rice and chicken would be great.
The healthy meals. It'd be good for Boomer for the week, won't it? Yeah.
It won't hurt.
There we go.
Okay, so we'll see everybody Thursday. See ya.
Okay.
Bye.